I like to go swimming with bow-legged women and swim between their legs.
Alrighty.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast number 157 for January 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, Ross Scott of The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. With me, as always, is Alex of Alex's Guide. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
And Alex's Guide can be found, of course, at alexsguide.net, as well as Fess himself, the man behind the scenes with the plan. Stepping a little bit in front of the curtain for today. Hey, Fess, how's it going?
Pay no attention to the man behind the pop screen.
I'm just glad you decided to wear pants today.
Last time was a little awkward.
Yeah. We don't talk about the trope casts. Anyway. unfortunately, Mark was unable to make it today. He was busy saving old ladies from a burning building. Or just not answering his phone. But, you know, I like to make assumptions. So, starting us off today, we have a lot to cover. Let's start off by talking about Diamond Book Publishers, or distributors, I should say, has decided to not ship anything to Borders anymore due to their recent financial complete lack of money. Now, this is from an article that was sent in or tweeted, I should say, by Sheryl Girl. Thanks to Sheryl Girl. And, of course, all of these news articles that we're covering today have been compiled by Eric of Exern, EXIERN.com. And the original source is from ICV2. So thanks to all of them for making this happen. Anyway, so Diamond is basically putting the smackdown on Borders.
Since Borders has kind of put the smackdown on all of its distributors.
Yeah, it's...
It stopped paying for shipments like last month or something like that.
Man, I had no idea that... I mean, until all these articles started coming out, I didn't know that Borders was in such trouble.
Yeah, neither did I. But apparently they've been showing losses for a few quarters now.
Well, yeah. When they keep sending me an email with a 50% off any one item coupon every day for a year and a half, you know, it's really no wonder, I guess. But
yeah,
You can only sell so many giant hardcover coffee table books at 59% off until I don't know. All right, but you know, I just gotta say though that this is kind of ironic considering that Diamond itself in the past has dealt with a lot of woes and asked everyone else to be rather forgiving of them. So the idea of Borders being hurt by Diamond is kind of, it's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
Well, they're not really being hurt by them. They're being hurt by the economy and people not buying, you know, books in a real store anymore. Diamond can't afford to not get paid while distributing because of their situations, you know.
Yeah, Diamond, I imagine, probably doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle room on things like this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's not going to pay, then you're not going to get your
comics. Yeah, because Diamond can't pay, you know, their creators unless they get paid for shipping. And if they don't get paid for shipping, you know, then that's...
Yeah. Now, here's the real question. To take it one step further, a lot of young people out there, the youngins, you know... Generations before us, and maybe some of you guys, have used to get their comics in drugstores and bookstores and that sort of thing. There are a lot of people out there today that are getting their comics from Borders. So, you know, if this continues, are we going to see comics in print as a popular medium start to die off? Like, where are people going to be getting them from? Because Borders is, let's face it, one of the bigger places to get comics these days.
I've always gone to Barnes & Noble.
And apparently so is everyone else. Like, all the Borders customers. I gotta be honest, I don't even know the difference when I'm walking into one or the other half the time. what do I care? Like, they pretty much look and act the same.
Unless I'm coffee's busy. The same.
The coffee is, I think, literally the same, isn't it?
Yeah, Starbucks owns, well, all the Starbucks coffee, plus...
Starbucks owns everyone!
Which is important.
Wait, Starbucks owns Seattle's Best, too?
Yep, yep.
I don't think I ever knew that. That's eerie.
It's a secret. Unfortunately,
they aren't putting any money into the Webcomic Beacon. But if Starbucks would like to, please contact Fess. Sure, you'd love to hear it.
That is right. We are accepting corporate sponsoring for the Webcomic Beacon podcasts. You can check out information at webcomicbeacon.com/advertise for more information.
Thanks, Fess. So if you want more information on that article, be sure to check out the Webcomic Beacon main page at webcomicbeacon.com, where with this very newscast post you will find links to all the articles that we talk about today and where they're from. And thanks for everyone for sending them in. So moving on to the next article. Now, in the past, Comixology has come under some strife for their basically their version of the Billboard charts, is my understanding. And Bleeding Cool has posted an article saying that they, well, they're trying to redo that method system to make it a little more honest. This article, by the way, coming to us directly from Bleeding Cool. So, what are you guys' takes on this?
Well, they say it's supposed to be like Nielsen's rating system, which is if anybody who doesn't know Nielsen's rating system, it's basically all, you know, there's this. Except when people talk about the ratings in television, they're talking about the Nielsen ratings. They're talking about this essentially third-party organization that goes around and enlists a random one in so-and-so many of people in so-and-so area of, you know, geographical area. And these people are required to rate the shows that they watch, and it records what they watch, how long they watch it, when they shut off, or you know, whatever, all this sort of tactical information. And
send you money in the mail.
Yeah, and they probably pay for your TV too. I don't know, your television programming, but that's what it sounds like. Bleeding Cool is trying to do. So I actually applied. And I don't know if they'll pick me or not, but essentially it's the same thing. They'll ask you for what are you reading, what do you like, how often do you check all this stuff, I'm assuming. So this is something I'm going to be really wanting to pay attention, something that can, you know, I don't know, could be of interest in the future.
All right. Alex, any thoughts?
I think it's pretty much all been said.
Okay, so on to an article via Comics Talk. Dueling Analogs, drawn by the wonderful, talented, and in need of a shave, Steve Napersky, has been posting a series called The Beginner's Guide to Webcomicking. Well, basically, a bunch of posts all about well, how he's gotten into webcomics and some advice for newbies. And he's posted another in the most recent series that really has some great information, if I may paraphrase. If you wouldn't read it, why the hell should I? Your friends and family don't count.
That's true.
Which is unfortunate, since I think my mom is... accounting for
they count, but not towards your reader numbers.
Yeah. Facebook is not the final step. Get yourself some knee pads. I gotta say, get yourself some knee pads is general good advice, but that's just me. I thought this was great. Unless you have credentials from previous works or are friends with famous people, you are going to have to whore yourself out. Regardless of your opinion, you are now at the bottom of a very large barrel of webcomics. If you want to move up, you are going to have to work for it. That means self-promotion, advertising, guest strips, etc. It's how things work. Get used to it. Systemcomic.com is what I'm trying to say. updating 3 days a week. On average, yes.
I do like this. Like this last one. Patience, absolutely, absolutely. On top of practice, of course. But patience is definitely success. Doesn't come overnight, he says. And Scott Kurtz uses the example of he's brought it up frequently, where he talks about the person who's been hard at his webcomic for 6 months and wondering why he's not making any money yet. It doesn't work like that.
Sometimes it takes 6 years.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Alex's guy done this.
Oh, no. If it only took 6 years, that's not bad if you think about it. I mean, you're basically going to webcomic college just by posting.
Right? Yeah. Webcomic college.
True.
I've got a self-degree.
If it takes you 6 years, then you know, that's 4 years of webcomicking and two more of...
For masters.
You know, masters.
Or interning.
If you think about it that way, then maybe that's not so bad. But anyway, Stephen Apersky's got some great posts he's been doing kind of intermittently on his site on the topic. Totally worth checking out. Mm. Not to mention his other webcomic. Have you guys ever read Omake Theater?
That's his?
Yeah. He doesn't really, like... Yeah, he doesn't really talk about it much, but it's on. I mean, he sells both the stuff together at conventions, and that's his too.
Huh.
Who knew, right?
Well, I have yet to do gaming webcomics on the show. Maybe.
Oh, by the way, you know, there's so much newbie webcomicker information out there. There's so much like, oh well, you know, you're just getting started kind of stuff.
That's why people should go to the Webcomic Beacon and check out our archive for all the information that you need for starting a new webcomic.
I'm just curious. Have you guys seen any of the, like, mid-range stuff? You know? Like,
Well, we're trying to do that a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like we do a lot of that here.
It's just that I've been not wanting to overstep our experience and bounds. So when we get the more mid-range or advanced stuff, it usually comes from guests with their experience, of course. Because I'm not going to be preaching about stuff that I have no direct experience on, or you know, me or Tanya or Mark, of course. So that usually comes from guests on this show. But as far as out there, I do see a lot more beginner stuff. There's no consistent intermediate or even expert stuff. Usually you'll find that information on individuals' websites as, you know, as like a single guide on their site or something like that. But I don't see any consistent, regular, middle to expert. Nothing that I've noticed anyway. I could be wrong.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll move on to the next article. You know, I just have to introduce this stuff. So, next article, best comic according to the 2011 Washington Post Riffy Awards, which, as we've discussed previously, are pretty much popularity contest amongst fans of each site, goes to Jesus and Mo. Yes, the comic about Jesus and Mohammed.
Or technically, it's not Mohammed. It's a stand-in according to the About page.
Oh, okay. So that's why he hasn't been burned at the stake yet.
Yes. I was wondering, it's a body double, apparently.
I was wondering how he got away with that.
Yes, this is sad news. This is
sad news.
This is precisely why I do not like webcomic awards. Because, obviously, I'm looking at this. Honestly, this comic, compared to the other ones that were on the list, which was already questionable,
right,
was definitely not the best. And it's just not. And this is why these sorts of things don't work. They have to be peer-based or community-based systems.
Hold on. So this is a fun poll on a blog that happens to run through the Washington
Post. This is the Washington Post's sanctioned website. This is their thing.
This is a Washington Post-sanctioned comics blog. This is not a journalistic... Like, this is a guy writing about the things that he thinks is fun to write about, you know? This isn't journal, like, this is journalism, like an opinion column is journalism.
Yeah.
I mean, he said on the site that it was a popularity contest. This, and it's not like he's giving out some sort of award.
It's, you know, prestige. I mean, it's the Washington Post website. Eric posted, or somebody posted a screen cap of his Project Wonderful traffic, and it goes from like 10,000 to 60,000 views on, and it's just like it's advertising. It's okay. Yeah, this goes back to the whoring thing. I guess, yeah, this is how you do it. This is how it works. But I have a problem with this. Whether or not that's how you're supposed to do it.
The fact that he advertised that his comic.
But it's like, I don't even know if the other two even know or paid attention or even cared that they're on some Washington Post-sanctioned comic blog.
I know. PvP posted, like, a tweet link to it once. But, I mean, the others didn't unleash the hounds and get all of their fans to go vote. So this guy did, and it paid off for him.
Yes.
I don't see the problem.
He took advantage of the system. Good on him. Is he actually the top of the 10?
How many of us are taking advantage of the system? I take advantage of the system all the time.
Just because your comic is called The System.
I was wondering if anyone would pick up on that. But systemcomic.com. But, I don't blame you. I mean, the man, I admit, when I saw this contest go up, I didn't go all out, but I asked my readers once, hey, guys, go vote for my webcomic here. I didn't keep on them about it. I didn't do it a million times or anything. Mm. And it didn't make the cut, and I kind of forgot about it. But, you know, this guy kept at it, and it paid off for him. Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather see a newcomer. Well, you know, I don't mean total newcomer, but someone that you don't normally think of in the higher ranks, you know, upend a contest like this.
I mean,
it's fun.
He did have a good
go to, like, another thing, go to, like, best comic, go to XKCD or something again, like, Randall's doing fine. I mean, I don't mean any ill will to the man, but does he need another like person to tell him that he's doing well? He knows he's doing well. Why not give it to somebody new?
Right. And to be fair, he already had a pretty good, according to Project Wonderful, pretty good count. I mean, he had like 10,000, 9,000 views and everything. So he was already doing fairly well already.
Project Wonderful statistics are totally messed up.
No, they're not that messed up. They're within a certain percentage. Obviously, if this chart is saying what, like 8,000, 9,000, I can't quite tell, but it's in between 0,000 and 12,000. He likely has several thousand on there. If you went to Google Analytics and such,
well,
you
that's
know,
displays. That's not viewers. That's displays. That's more like page views than anything.
Well, there's page views and unique, so it won't count if the same ad is like on the same site and they're scrolling through the site. Yeah, it'll add page views, but not uniques. Like if you're doing an archive dive, the page views will go up, but not the uniques that much.
Well, once voting started, okay, so we're gonna have to post this chart, obviously. Now that we've talked about it and referenced it this much, but once voting started, what's most interesting is how much his page views shot up over his uniques, which means
that's not that simple. Okay, look, it's almost double. The uniques are a little under 36,000, and the page views are 60,000. That just means the average click through was maybe 1.7 pages. So a lot of people looked at two pages. That counts as two views, but it's only one person.
Right, because they're going to the site from they go to the Washington Post, find out about it, and then go and they read it a little bit to see if they want to vote for it. That's great promotion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to give credit to the guy. I admit, when I first heard this comic, I'm like, this one sticks out as not being one of the ones I would expect to see in this list. But, I mean, really, if this was a friend of mine, if I already knew this guy, I'd be like, more power to him for making use of this system.
Yeah, it goes back to my mantra. You know, good on you. Good on you. I don't like it, but good on you. You know, whatever.
I don't like it because I didn't think of it first. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just don't think it's fair. But, you know, you take advantage of the system, and that's how life is. And
there are two types. I mean, well, there's more than two, but there's a lot of different types of awards out there. I mean, you have those awards that are given for reasons from the industry, by the industry.
Right.
You know, and you have ones like the Harvey Awards and the Eisner Awards and stuff like that, that are, you know, specific and done by other cartoonists you know, or done by everyone or done by a particular committee or whatever.
You know, peers. And
there's a problem with every single system.
True.
You know, the Eisner Awards are constantly under criticism for not doing digital enough, you know, because they come from print so much that, you know, and maybe not, I don't know. And I think, you know, there's a problem with every system for doing it. And this is just another one out there. Yep. Alex, do you want mommy and daddy to stop fighting?
Yes.
Okay. Well, before on that, be sure to check out Comic Riffs, which is also a good comics-related digital blog and worth checking out. Okay, so we are on to Dean Haspiel's open letter to content creators, which I feel like I should at least read out the beginning of. Dear content maker, being published by someone else does not legitimize your hard work, and the financial advance hardly pays the rent. Think about that the next time you sign a contract for your original ideas. I trust a firm handshake over the most of the jargon they write into those binding contracts anyway. Sadly, the death rattle of print is shivering. Its way towards the way we currently package and distribute our wares, and marketing is a publishing luxury at best. The good news, there is a new dawn on the horizon where the author will become the provider, publisher, and publicist. Don't let it daunt you, continue your network, etc. Bottom line, I'm skipping ahead. Keep making original content and stop giving it away to publishers. If you're going to give it away, then benefit from it. Meanwhile, hold on a little longer for the paradigm shift to settle in, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'm sorry, but I just read, attention webcomickers, you're doing it already.
Right. Welcome to 10 years ago, Dean.
Yeah. This, by the way, from Comics Beat, and is the link to Dean Haspiel's personal blog, which can be found at, it was actually posted on LiveJournal. Which, that's awesome. I didn't know LiveJournal, you know, still existed.
It's still a thing.
It's still a thing. No, I still have an account that I wish I still used. But, you know, man, do we have anything to say about this, really?
No, I think Dean said it all. Thanks.
Yeah, that's I mean, I agree with the man. I'm just not sure who's disagreeing with him.
The newspapers?
Oh, you must give us your things.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
Yeah. Even Eric typed in here as a note. Very, you know, should we even talk about this? Webcomers knew this already, right?
I mean, I think it's true. And what's up with all those digital platform articles, Fess? We're doing that in a separate cast, right? Now would be a good time to pimp that, since this is kind of leading into the topic.
All the iPhone stuff that we said skip? As long as we can try to save the last 10-15 minutes for the tidbits. Because there's a lot of tidbits.
We're going to cover that in a separate cast. We should mention the separate cast that we're going to cover it in.
But we haven't particularly said, yeah, we can do it on this day.
Okay. No. Okay. Well, I will say this then, that if this particular last article has interested you, then be sure to check out the upcoming episode of the Webcomic Beacon. It'll be an EP where we cover digital distribution and going in or outside of the system. Stay tuned for more details at webcomicbeacon.com. See? There we go. Well, now everyone knows about it.
There you go.
Any excuse to work the name of your comic into the show. I see.
I can't do that for mine. Everyone has a pessimistic sense of inadequacy.
Okay. Some minor tidbits as we now move along. So, do you guys read Lackadaisy Cats?
I should, actually. It's just...
God, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's very pretty. I don't read it, but the thing we're talking about is this facial expression tutorial from the artist of Lackadaisy Cats, which is amazing.
Yeah, I caught sight of it on webcomics.com, but it's also been linked from a lot of different places, including Tales of Maora.com and other places. Anyway, if you go to lackadaisy.com, it's on there, or follow the link through the Webcomic Beacon. It's a really amazing. I mean, the guy's got to have animation training, right? I mean, it just screams animation the way he does so much with his facial expressions. It's just so detailed. Man, I love it. Anyway, it's a really great, tutorial, really, more than anything, on expressions and how to do them right and how to not do them wrong. Alex, did you get any tidbits from reading it?
Yeah, actually, I was penciling a comic last night, and I was like, I should really punch these expressions up, so I went back. It's a lot better now. It does a little pot shot at the smarm brow, you know, like the DreamWorks eyes and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
The DreamWorks eyes?
The eyebrow, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't remember seeing that one. But I just love how much he talks about just approaching the face as like this really rubbery thing and really exaggerating it, big, small, up, down, and playing with it more than just moving the eyes and the mouth. Mm-hmm. I used to have chronic sea mouth. the easiest way to put it. Yeah, man. But also, Lackadaisy Cat is an amazing comic and should definitely be checked out.
I should get these people on, Tracy on for a show. I so should.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, I'm pretty sure Tracy lives in St. Louis. I'm like almost certain I read that somewhere. Okay, whatever. Anyway.
Must move on.
I'm a Midwest guy at heart. What can I say? So, wow, what was next? Right. So body references.
Yeah, there's a few of these. There's a few drawing references that we're going over. So we have three more to go yet.
Yeah, so a bunch of artists lately have been covering, basically taking a bunch of different sizes and shapes of real physical people and drawing their own characters and also using it as a chance to show how many different shapes and sizes people are. Not everyone has to be the, you know, same height, same weight, same build, and all that sort of thing. So there's a link to...
This story makes me happy.
Yeah, there's a link to some great photo reference, really, of different people put together. Man, the weightlifting guy, you just can't help but see him. You're going through those pictures because everyone else is like super toned in some way or another. And then the weightlifting guy is, first of all, 10 shades paler than everyone else and also 10 times bigger.
Yeah, there's another one with two weightlifters next to each other. One's rather small but muscular. And the other lady is like huge. She's like 300 pounds. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, you would not mess with her.
Yeah.
Wow. She's 5'9 and 297 pounds. Crazy is that. Wow.
Muscles heavy.
She's next to a girl who is literally 85 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Run!
The photos are from a series called The Athlete by photographers Howard Schartz and Beverly Ornstein. You should mention that.
Yeah, I love the idea of using, looking outside of the box for interesting character reference. I mean, I know Yuko Oda of Johnny Wander has been posting on her Tumblr a lot lately. She took all of her characters and lined them up in this style and put them all in scant clothes for the purpose of showing off, like, body types. And she lined up just all of her characters next to each other as a chance to show kind of the different sizes and shapes that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. I think size diversity, shape diversity of characters is something that is often overlooked. And the better artists are really trying to do it. But I've definitely seen a fair amount of comics that everyone is pretty much in good shape, about 5'8", you know, which is, let's face it, not real.
I'm looking at some of these, and they are not to scale. They right. are oh, not.
Yeah. Of course they're not scale.
I'm looking at this. It's like, there's no way that she can be that tall. I'm looking at 5'1", and then the person next to me is 6'1". It's like, that is way more than a foot difference between the two.
Yeah.
And then the one to the right.
Next to the hockey player.
Yeah. And then the one next to the guy who's 6'1", is 6'2", and he's like, looks like he's 6 inches shorter than the guy. So these pictures are not to scale.
Well, hockey guy's also on his skate, so.
Hmm. But still, that's more than a foot difference between her and the guy. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. But anyway, artists out there, be sure to check out the links to the posts. It was referenced in Fleen, and then it's a link to Nina Matsumoto's WordPress site. So check that out. Okay, so via Fleen again, we have Scott McCloud's online facial expression generator. Which can be found at grimace-project.net. And it's basically a great way to play with faces and make them into different faces by... It's this whole slider scale of mixing expressions, joy, surprise, fear, sadness, disgust, anger. Did you guys play with this at all?
I'm doing it right now.
I know. You can't not.
I had this back in the day. It was called Super Mario Brothers 64. At the start of the game, you get to mess with Mario's face. Okay, I'm done.
See, I'm looking at this.
I'm mixing anger and joy right now. It's funny.
I'm mixing surprise and disgust, and it looks like my last date.
joy and fear are pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's a great little thing. It's too bad that I'm kind of ticked at Scott McCloud today, but no, that's awesome. you guys saw that chart I posted? This is off topic. I don't care. Well, I posted this chart all about citation and sharing things on the internet, and posted it on my site because, well, I helped make it, and Caldwell posted it on his site, and Scott McCloud didn't read the chart but posted it. And then thought I was stealing it from Caldwell, the guy I worked on the chart with. I don't think that ever got resolved. I was so happy when he tweeted it because it's like, yay, Scott McCloud. I own all his books. And he tweeted out this chart I made. Yay. And then it was like, oh,
did not do the homework.
Didn't do the homework. Yeah. I think he's figured it out by now. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Still never read Zot. okay, well, be sure to check out that wonderful, fun toy/resource. It also seems like a meme generator, by the way. I mean, you could make so many fun memes with this thing. okay. Again, on from Fleen's Reference Day post, it was a great post, Go Gary, which was also linked from Meredith Grand's Twitter. We have a article all about hand reference. So this is really the reference episode, really, for Fleen and now for us. But it's just a ton of drawings of hands and feet. For the fetishist in all of us.
I was waiting for that.
yeah, I mean, I gotta say, as someone that draws nubs for hands most of the time, I wish I drew the hands this well. Or this much, but Alex, as someone who draws a lot more hands than I do, do you have trouble with hands?
Not anymore. I'm in a pretty good place with hands.
Would you say you're awesome?
That sounds a little suggestive. Pretty good place. All right. Yes. I think hands and feet are the bane of most webcomicers. The average webcomicker, I should say.
I took a few life drawing classes. I've been drawing people for like 10 years now, so you know, not that big a deal for me anymore. But it's a really good reference too. If you're looking for a specific, you know, posture and
mm-hmm.
you can't contort your hand to, you know, view it in the right way when you're drawing from your own hand.
I have a problem a lot because I'm left-handed, and so I need to draw a left hand, and it's like, well, I can't really pose myself.
It's like, well,
you got the phone, take a picture. It's all thing.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah. Fess, how are you with hands?
I'm getting better, and you only get better by drawing them.
True. True story. Exactly. By the way, what do you guys have any one body part that you find hardest to draw? We're going to skip the obvious. Any actual body part that you every time you draw it, you're like, I need to work on this.
That's why all my characters wear pants.
Thanks,
sorry, I had to go there.
Honestly, the thing I have trouble convincing is toes, actually.
Really?
I'm good with feet, but if they're bare feet, then it's like, oh, they have kind of little nubbly things.
Nubby hands.
Little nubby hands. Because you know how the way that toes have knuckles, too. It's like I have trouble with the toe knuckles. Making
I just imagine a like a foot punching someone in the face. They're like toe brass knuckles. Okay, and next up, via Robot 6, Yen Press has launched their iPad app. How many iPad stories are we going to cover each week? I mean, there just seems to be so many.
A lot of comic-related ones, and this, of course, covers, manga stuff. So it's of interest to the Scanalators that people are coming and they get it in digital form just like how they like it. And so I guess manga stuff was like the last to start on the train to comics, like published comics onto iPad. So it's exciting for them.
Yeah. Did you guys take a look at the screencasted video of how the app works?
No.
Okay. No. Well, I will say that it's pretty standard fare for the kind of reader app, similar to Comixology in a lot of ways. And they actually had it demonstrated at New York Comic Con, and actually, I think I took a look at it at the time. Pretty good app. I mean, kind of standard. Lets you read manga. Reads it from left to right, I should point out. Like the pages, you got to flip them the normal book way, not the manga way, which I thought was interesting. I know, right?
Not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's manga. Shouldn't it be backwards? Well, not, you know what I mean. Not actually backwards. Okay. Well, on the iPad topic, we move on to, we need like a music sting for like the iPad section, because there's just so many. Archie Comics has now going to be released the same day on the iPad as it is in print. For all those fans out there that are just itching for their Archie love, are there any?
I haven't read Archie.
I think I read Archie once in the checkout lane at Cub Foods in the 90s when my mom was shopping.
That's the thing. The only time I've ever read it was while standing in a checkout line. So. I don't know.
And now they don't have them in the checkout line, do they?
I think Archie's still there. I'm not sure, though. I'll check next time I'm at the grocery store.
By the way, thanks to Alan from the Daily Cartoonist, whose site first linked this article about Archie Comics. I love Alan. Oh, I do not love Archie Comics. Okay, Fess, do you want to cover this next one?
Yes, this is somebody we might try to get on the show if we can do a special edition later. But we will link to somebody found a way to sell stuff to the iPad without using iTunes. And we'll post a link about it, but basically it utilizes a PayPal system and Google in a sort of several automated sequences that PayPal and Google can use. So we'll post a link to that, and we'll see if we can get this person on the show. If not, it's very detailed instruction.
Nice. And then two quick fun things before we wrap up. First up, if you haven't seen the College Humor Photoshop tutorial featuring CMY Killer, check it out. It's hilarious. Have you guys seen this thing? So funny.
Not yet.
Many things from College Humor are definitely funny.
Yeah. In fact, Caldwell, their illustrator over at Comedy College Humor, I know, worked on this, and it actually came out a month ago, but it's funny because it's just kind of it's been making the rounds, but I saw it kind of pop up again a lot in the last week. It's so funny. It made it on cocky.org, which is always a good sign for me. And Adobe caught wind of it and actually sent them awesome, crazy t-shirts with crazy Photoshopped unicorns on them. Okay. And then also the creator of Earthworm Jim, Doug Tennaple, is now doing a comic called Rat Fist. Now, this was linked on Comics Talk. I also saw it from Axe Cop, the creator of Axe Cop.
Right, right.
Speaking about it as well. But it is, if you like Axe Cop, actually that's kind of accurate to say if you like Axe Cop, you'll probably like Rat Fist. It is very much in that vein.
We do have a couple of book releases this month, week as well. Drawn and Quarterly announces that it will publish Kate and Beacon's book. So we'll go ahead and
Did you say Kate Beacon?
Beaton.
Okay.
Not Beacon as in webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. But this was announced this was mentioned on Comics Talk. And of course, Girl Genius is releasing another print book as well, this as reported by Robot 6. So we'll get those links into the show notes. And that's pretty much all the time we have for today.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the time we have for the day then.
I said that already.
Alex, do you want to say it too?
Well, that's pretty much all the time we have for today, folks.
Thanks, Alex. This Yay. Has been another wonderful, lovely episode of the Webcomic Beacon. You have heard myself, Roscott of the System, Alex of Alex's Guide, and Fess of PSI. Is it PSI or PSI? I'm never sure.
PSIwebcomic.com.
PSIwebcomic.com. Thank you. Rambling on about the latest in webcomic news and related things. If you have any tips that you would like to send us, please send them to us through the Webcomic Beacon site or through our email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Fess, any last minute notes?
Peanut butter and jelly, man.
Peanut butter and jelly. Thanks all. See you next time.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.